Well, welcome everyone to Help and Hope for Families, a radio ministry whose goal is to help marriages that are struggling and to help good marriages become even better. I'm Tim Tucker, affiliate staff member of the Pittsburgh Family Life Team, along with Scott and Catherine Mercer, part of our wonderful team here. And with me are Tom and Pam Jones. Tom is an associate pastor and a licensed Christian counselor, and Pam is a real estate agent in the Pittsburgh area. So welcome back, everyone, to the – it's not exactly a round table. I guess it's a rectangular table with round edges.
Okay. Thank you very much, Tim. I'm surprised you're inviting me back.
Hey. We've had experience.
Keep your eye on me.
I know
we're on radio.
I know we are. I'll tell you. Well, we would like to talk tonight about a very sensitive subject, and it's how to restore trust in a spouse who is unfaithful. So, Tom, after a moral failure by a spouse, whether it's marital unfaithfulness, pornography addiction, or even stealing from a family for a drug or alcohol addiction, one of the hardest things the offended spouse wrestles with is the trust issue, trusting that spouse once again. If a sinning spouse confesses their sin to God and to their spouse and wants to win the other spouse's confidence and trust again, what steps does he or she have to do to establish that trust again?
Well, Tim, this is a topic that Pam and I are familiar with. I wish we weren't, but we are. And I will just give you the formula that my counselor gave me. It's time plus consistency equals trust. Mm-hmm. First of all, I want folks to remember it takes time.
Yeah.
And the offending spouse is not the one who will determine when it's been enough time.
Yeah.
And from my experience in working with couples, that spouse wants things to move along much more quickly. But the truth of the matter is that spouse is the one who determines how quickly it moves along. And so the offending spouse, I think, first of all, has to show sincere humility in coming to the place where they can say the harsh words, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Now, when I'm counseling in this situation, I never counsel the offending spouse to ask for forgiveness, not at least in the early stages. Because in the moment that I'm asking for forgiveness, I'm making it more about what I'm feeling than what my spouse is feeling. So I want to be sorry, and the spouse will typically forgive in time. So I don't ask them to. I ask them to ask Jesus for forgiveness, but not the spouse right away. For a believer in Christ who sinned against their spouse, it will take that person being filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit to convict them in their heart to repent or turn away from their sin.
Tom, let me ask you a question. If you have an offended spouse who has trust issues in the first place, let's just say it's a woman who has had problems with relationships in the past, has had a bad relationship with her dad.
All the way back to their child.
Yes, now she's in a marriage relationship. She's been offended by someone who has broken that trust. She's got trust issues just from life and what her experience of. Is there anything, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'm just thinking, how in the world would you counsel that person to get over it? That's so harsh. It's ridiculous. You can't say that.
Yeah.
But how would they move through that?
I don't counsel them, and probably Pam would be a good one to speak to on this subject. I never counsel them just to get over it. My personal belief is that we as human beings do not possess the ability to forgive and forget. I think we have the ability to forgive, but I think only God has the ability to truly forget. So I don't know, Pam, do you want to speak to that topic in what would you encourage a woman or a spouse to do in that case?
Well, first of all, the offending spouse should show their repentance. And also, I think it's going to take a long time. There's going to be a lot of time that she's just going to watch and or he, in some cases, to see if they're truly repentant and what's going on. There will be things that come up that will be similar to what she might have experienced before. And it is a reminder, and so
a trigger
point for them to go running back to the safe place.
Yeah.
And And truly, the offended spouse, I mean, fall on your face before God and just ask God to help you through every single day. Because it's a daily battle.
This is the offended spouse you're speaking of.
Yes.
So if the offender is aware there's a trust problem with the offended.
Yes.
And he knows she's gonna have a problem with this. What do we do?
Because
the reason why I'm asking this is because I'm dealing with someone that is I'm just describing the scenario they're living in, and I'm thinking, how does he
demonstrate?
Yeah. Because she's got trust issues in the first place.
Right. Right.
Let me speak to the point of the offender first. And when I'm saying this, I'm not trying to justify or say it's okay. But typically for the offender to be in that place, he or she is already in an emotional upheaval in and of their own life. And oftentimes that individual is in a survival mode, not knowing, I don't know if my spouse is going to stay with me. I think sometimes it can be challenging for the offender to look at this with clarity and not, it's easy for the offender to get caught up in his or her own shame and thereby not being able to see the pain of the offended. Pam was speaking of praying. I may not be able to say this without choking up, but she thought I had left the house one day, and I walked back in, and I walked into the bedroom, and she was literally on her face, crying out to God. And when she realized I was there, she said, "I thought you were gone." And just the things she was saying about God giving her the grace and the ability to stay and to stay. I don't remember her exact words, but just asking God to help her with this. And I think this is so critically important for us to remember what role God plays in this.
Absolutely.
And the God that can guide and direct and give astronomical love for one another.
Unconditional.
Wow, that is a beautiful story,
yeah.
Pam and Tom, and it takes a lot of courage to share such an intimate part of your life.
Yeah.
But we thank you because it is a reminder to us, your example is a reminder to us about how God treats us.
Mm-hmm.
Really, what is forgiveness?
Yeah.
God does not hold our sin against us.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what he's asking us to do.
Yeah.
When we say, I forgive someone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little tidbit on the forgiveness point, Catherine, is that if we are going to forgive another person, there are rules to that process, to the one who's forgiving and the one who is going to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
There are rules. The rules being, the next time this comes into my mind, I'm going to do everything I can to think of something else and move away from what that was.
Yeah. I want us to be careful here. That we're not making the emphasis about forgiveness. While that's important, we also want to remember the offended spouse is in deep, deep pain.
Yes.
And so, yes, I feel like I can forgive this time. And I think sometimes they almost try to forgive too quickly to save the marriage. And so then it may not be a thought out forgiveness. But we're talking about restoring trust, and I don't think that my opinion is that the offended spouse doesn't have to have come to a complete place of forgiveness to begin to work. And Pam can speak to this too about beginning to build trust. Because here's the thing: if I'm going to forgive you this time, what if you go back and do this again? Then what do I do? And so I think rather than the offender working on hoping the offended spouse can grant forgiveness, the offending spouse begins to work on the humility, the repentance, the sincerity, and the building the trust in the offended spouse.
A Family Life article put it this way: trust is a byproduct of lasting change and continued proven fidelity. Trust is a byproduct of lasting change and continued proven fidelity. The offended spouse must see the consistent positive behavior as time goes on to see that the offending spouse really does mean business in changing their behavior.
Amen.
So this fall coming up, Catherine, we have the Family Life Weekend to Remember, and this would be a great help for families. We've had families who have come that, you know, when we see the prayer requests that have come in, it's just so heartbreaking to see the trust that's been broken because of what one spouse has done to another. And this weekend has really helped to build those relationships back up again, as only the Spirit of God could do. So tell us a little bit about the Family Life Weekend to Remember.
Sure. Another great tool that Family Life avails to us to just redeem and also invest in our marriages. So whether you are engaged, married, short period of time, long period of time, or you're remarried, you're blended, you're a pastoral couple that we'd like to receive a scholarship from us, we have a 2.5-day getaway designed for some special time for your marriage. Listening to speakers, having some fun, laughing, praying, and really spending intentional time with your spouse. Visit weekendtoremember.com on the Family Life website, and you'll see there Cranberry Township in Pittsburgh here at the Pittsburgh Marriott North, September 23rd through 25th. And if you use group code, a group name, Weekend Together, you'll get $100 off the price of a couple's registration. That's totally worth it, and you'll have a great time there.
And if you have any questions about any of the resources that Family Life has to offer, please call me at 412-337-3858, or you can email me at tptuck@juno.com. And I always tell people the dinosaur still lives, juno.com. So we hope that you will join us again next week as we continue our discussion on how to restore trust in a spouse who's been unfaithful. Next week on Help and Hope for Families.